Well, good morning, if you're watching this Sunday morning anyway. Actually, it is Saturday afternoon. I'm here in the sanctuary, and again, it's Joel and I here, and I want to thank Joel again for being here to help out with this, recording the videos, and also to be here to pray with me and help encourage me. Having Christian brothers and sisters around to encourage us and be able to talk to and pray with is so uplifting and encouraging. So Joel, thank you for your help this afternoon. I want to just make a few quick announcements before we start the message. I want to ask everyone out there to be sure to keep praying for Mike Davies. He's been going through a few weeks now of just pain after his eye surgery, and we just need to pray for him. It's really a struggle for him, and the pain has been really hard for him. So pray for Mike and Renette. And also, I wanted to announce too, a lot of you know Bill Smith and his wife Terry, and they haven't been here for a few years. They moved down the hill, but Bill Smith went home to be with the Lord. He went home to be with the Lord last night, and so we have a reason to rejoice that our brother made it home, and so we should rejoice in that. But we also want to pray for the family and pray for Terry. Just now, as I was talking, I realized I was looking around at an empty room. I'm going to try not to do that because there's not anyone here right now besides Joel. So I might look back in the corner over there a little bit. But just want to encourage all of you again that if you're watching this and there's any way that as a church we can help, if you have any kind of need, please let us know. Or if, like Joel was a blessing to me this afternoon, and you just need someone to talk to, and they're just dealing with things that are just too overwhelming, and you just need some prayer and encouragement, then you're always welcome to call me or Julie, or just call someone in the church, because we know that right now this is a trying time. It's a difficult time for many people. So don't hesitate to call or reach out to someone. And it'll be amazing how much of a blessing that will be for you. All right, so let's talk about this last week a little bit. So we made it through another week of social distancing and a shelter-in-place order, and self-isolation. We made it through another week, so praise the Lord. And again, as I said, for many, this is a very hard time. It's a time of just mental struggle and financial struggle and just different situations that are bringing us down. There's the fear from being infected, I mean, by this virus. That's in the back of our minds, like, well, what if I get it? Julie already has a plan, she told me. If I get it, I'm going to be locked in a room, and she's going to bring me food, and I'll use the same cup and same plate and same silverware. So anyway, just that's kind of on a lighter note. I was kind of joking, but it's true, too. I mean, we've kind of just planned this stuff out just in case. And please, Lord, don't let Julie get sick, because if she's locked in a room, then I got to do all the stuff that she does, and she does a lot. So Julie, if you're listening, thank you for what a blessing you've been to me and to the church. But like I said, there's also financial strain. There's a lot of people that are out of work right now. In fact, we know now that this week over 3 million people applied for unemployment, and that vastly overdoes any previous number in our history. In fact, that's four times higher than ever recorded for 3 million people to apply in 1 week. So that's concerning. You know, if you are struggling financially and there's a lot of financial hardship on you right now, if you haven't heard of Dave Ramsey, he's a Christian. How do I say it? He gives counsel, Christian counsel for finances, and so he's a very wise in financial area and a godly man. So he's put out different resources for free to help people, to encourage them through this time. He even in those resources, which we'll put online, so you can check out online to see these resources. But he talks about the four priorities that we have right now. If financially you're just devastated, there's four priorities, and that's food. Got to have food. Got to have your utilities. So pay the utility bills. You need shelter and you need transportation. Pretty much everything else you can kind of cancel or set aside right now, even your cell phone. But anyway, I'll let him tell you all that stuff. But it was encouraging to just sit and listen to what he was saying. And I think it'll be an encouragement for you if you're struggling financially right now. And then there are those that are still working, and actually they're working and they're busier than they've ever been, stocking shelves or driving trucks or any of those number of things. There's people that are really busy right now. I was talking to Nick Famania this week, and he's a superintendent down in San Diego on a job site. And he says on top of his usual work, which is usually a lot to do by itself, he's also having to make sure that all of the construction workers are staying 6 feet apart, that they're not sharing their tools, and that they have to take this test every day before they come on the site to see if they're sick or not. So pray for Nick. He's got a heavy load right now too, while he's working. But it's just crazy. It's like we're going through a society reboot right now. It's like someone shut the computer off, and then we're going to turn it back on, and we're going to reboot. But the question is, when do we restart? And then once we do restart, what will be different? What will change? What freedoms might we lose, or this and that and the other? So, you know, just a lot of things to weigh us down. And in this time, you know, with all these things that we're thinking about, this leads to mental struggle, depression, and despair at times, doesn't it? And in this time, more than ever, we need hope. We need hope. And so this morning, or whatever time you're watching this, we're going to be looking at scriptures that give us hope. We're going to look at scriptures that give us hope. So have your Bible handy and ready to flip through. Just to start, I want to read a couple verses to you from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and I'm going to read verses 5 and 11. Psalm 42, 5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." And then Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." And you know, Psalm 42, that whole chapter is really a blessing. But you know, it's just, we see in these passages right here the conflict that goes on in our soul, right? We know this conflict. We see here in Psalm 42, the soul arguing with itself. It's arguing. And the thing is that we know this, we've experienced this, because for us, it's not natural for us just to hope in God and just to trust in Him. It's not natural. We got to work at it. We got to fight to do that. And so we must argue with ourselves, remind ourselves forcefully to hope in God. And if we don't, especially in these times, we could fall in depression or just be downcast. But I do love the way that Psalms is so real. We see the real struggle. And we know that this is a normal Christian experience to have this battle. And we must wrestle and fight and struggle to maintain our hope in God. Because to lose hope in the Lord can be very dangerous, okay? It can have some bad outcomes. We don't want to lose our hope in the Lord. If we do lose our hope in the Lord and we wind up depressed or angry, losing our hope in the Lord can lead us to make rash and unwise decisions. Losing our hope in the Lord could cause us to harm ourselves. If we allow ourselves to go into the depths of despair, losing hope in the Lord can cause us to hurt the ones we love, to lash out, or to push away. But here's the greatest danger that we face if we lose our hope in the Lord. If we lose the hope in the Lord, if we lose our hope in the Lord and His salvation, it could prove that we are not saved. If we lose our hope in the Lord and His salvation, it could prove that we were never truly saved to begin with. I've said this before, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but as Southern Baptists, it is one of our doctrines that we stand on, that we believe the Scripture teaches, but we believe that we are always saved, if ever once truly saved. Once saved, always saved. We read in Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." And we also read in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." If we lose faith and hope in Jesus Christ, it shows that we were never truly born again. We were not sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we were not regenerated. Paul Washer writes, "The doctrine of regeneration is a magnificent work of God, whereby a radically depraved human being who is hostile toward God and cannot submit to His will is transformed into a new creature that loves Him, delights in His will, and seeks His glory." Being born again or Being regenerated by the Holy Spirit explains how we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses, but now we've been made alive in God. But one of the problems in our church today is that, or in the church in this day and time, is that we don't talk about regeneration and we don't stress the importance of regeneration. And so that causes a few consequences. When we don't talk about the teaching of regeneration and that miraculous work of the Lord, the power of God working to take someone from death and sin to life in Christ. When we don't talk about that, we diminish the glory of conversion. That miraculous work of conversion, we diminish the glory of it. When we don't talk about the doctrine of regeneration, salvation is simply just a human decision. But it's much more than that. But if we do just see salvation as just a human decision, that a person can just pray the sinner's prayer, and then we welcome them into the family of God, then we could be making a big mistake. If someone says that they receive Jesus into their heart, but it is not a true work of regeneration, then they will continue, if they do remain in fellowship with believers, they will continue learning and growing and trying to do the Christian walk in their own effort. It will be their own effort. And the day will come when, likely will come when they just give up on the Christian faith altogether. Or they might say that they have accepted Jesus into their heart, and then they'll go on sinning still. They'll still be in bondage to sin and continue in a life of worldliness and immorality until again they decide to go no further. And so in previous messages, as we were looking at Philippians 2, I was talking about how we are to, as the scripture says, do not be about your own interests, but be about the interests of others. We were to have that mind that Christ had. He humbled himself. But I emphasize in those messages that we are to look at each other and say and have this commitment that I'm not getting to heaven without you. I'm not making it there without you. We're gonna make it there side by side and we should be able to look at all of our brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to speak that commitment to them. I'm not getting there without you. Well, if we believe in this doctrine that once saved, always saved, then why would we need to have that commitment? If you're saved, then of course we're going to get there together. But this is where that comes in. For each of us, we have to remain hoping in Christ for our salvation. We have to stay in that hope that Jesus Christ is Lord and His death on the cross has saved us. And if at any time that hope leaves us, and we deny that hope and we walk away from the faith, then it shows that we were not saved. But But we're to walk alongside each other, encouraging each other, encouraging each other to hope in Christ and to stay firm on our faith and that foundation that of His salvation. And as we're walking together, if for any reason you are walking in your own effort, then, you know, may my walk and my faith and the way that I pray for you, the way that I minister to you, the words from the Bible that I share with you, may those words and the power of God transform you so that you're not walking in your effort anymore, that you are truly saved. I mentioned Nick Famania earlier. Nick, if you're listening or watching, I've been thinking about this and I've thought about it ever since your dad passed. And it's been in my mind and it's come to mind. That's something that you shared. And I've been nervous to share it because I don't want to share something that maybe you didn't want shared, but I feel this is a strong point for this. As Nick lost his dad about, gosh, maybe it's been a year now. Nick and his family were right there with his dad, and I had the privilege to go and to be there on one of the last days that he was here, and just to walk up to his dad and to have him just smile. I mean, he was in pain. He was fighting the cancer. He was in pain. But just to be able to walk up to him and for him to see me and smile and then for me to say, let's pray. And then for him to say, thank you. And him just to have that thankful spirit, you know, I was just like, praise the Lord. But Nick, I will never forget how you shared that at that time, in that moment, when your dad passed from this life to go to be with the Lord, your response, Nick, was to praise the Lord and to say, He made it! He made it! And I just remember when you shared that, Nick, and I believe that's exactly what we're talking about here. Nick, you were right there with your dad to the end, praying for him, loving him, committed to him. And even through the pain and the, you know, the disappointment of a shortened life, he never, never renounced his faith. He never gave up hope in Christ. He hoped to the very end. And so we rejoice. He made it. He made it to heaven. He's there with the Lord. And that's the same rejoicing we want to do for each and every person that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's the rejoicing that we do right now for Bill Smith. He made it. He's there. He made it to heaven. He's with the Lord. And so that's the commitment we have, to see each other through to the end, to encourage each other, and to just stoke that faith and hope in Jesus. So true regeneration happens when a person repents and believes as a result of a supernatural work of God that transforms his nature, his affections, and his will. It's a supernatural work of God. That person that's regenerated is a new creature who loves God, desires to please Him, and longs to be conformed to the image of Christ. And in that moment of regeneration and for the rest of your life, you know that Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all that you need. There's no works that you can do. Jesus is all that you need. His sacrifice on the cross, His payment for your sins is all that you need. When we think of our past and the weight of our sin, I've had a lot of time to think, kind of just sitting and thinking and reminiscing and thinking of my past and just the filth and the sin that I was in. And knowing that Jesus is all that I need, His payment is payment in full. Those are all forgiven, and I rejoice and I thank Him. And then the present sin that we face, the doubts, the times that we do lose hope. His salvation gives us the power and has broken that bondage of sin. His salvation gives us the power to keep going and to keep going forward in our faith. Just to add to this, humans have only two problems. Humans have two problems. Problem number one, the condemnation of sin. We are all guilty. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The condemnation of sin is the greatest problem that humans have. And then the power of sin, the bondage of sin that we are in outside of Christ. So the condemnation of sin and the power of sin. But both of these are solved by the work of Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith in Him, by His salvation. We're justified, so the condemnation of sin is canceled. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we remember there is conviction in Christ Jesus. The Spirit convicts us of our sin. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And that is the Spirit's work in us to convict us of sin. That's an important work of the Spirit to bring us to repentance so that we would turn to the Lord and righteousness. But there's not condemnation. There's not a guilt that leads to death. There is grace. And through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we are born again and strengthened to walk in newness of life. The power of sin is broken, and we see that in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. A person must understand the weight of sin, must understand how sin offends and angers the Lord if they are to be saved. A person must understand that. Eliana, our daughter, came to Julie first yesterday and then came to me. And she'll do this thing, it's really cute. She'll say, "Daddy, I want to whisper something in your ear." It's really cute. And so, I was like, okay. And I kneel down and she puts her hands on my ear and she'll tell me something. Today she told me, "I'm hungry." And, just whispered that in my ear. It's cute. But yesterday I went down and she whispered in my ear, "Daddy, I'm ready to accept Jesus into my heart." And that brought me great joy. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, just knowing and seeing how she talks about the Bible and Jesus and the things that she's catching through Julie's teaching and as we talk, and it's amazing. So I was excited for her to hear her say that. But again, I know this regenerating work of the Holy Spirit is not just by human decision. It is by the power of God. And so, Julie and I talked about it, and we sat down with Eliana, and we We asked her, and you know, believe me, for Julie and I, this is what we want more than anything. We want this for our daughter, and we're praying for this every day, multiple times a day. Lord, please save Eliana. Lord, please save her. Lord, please, please make her a new creation. Lord, I long for the day when I can sit with her and read the Bible with her and disciple her in spirit and in truth. I mean, this is a day that we're longing for. But we knew we had to sit down and talk to her and ask her, Eliana, do you know what sin is? Eliana, how have you sinned? And, of course, she was able to name a few things that she's done wrong, but we could tell clearly right away that she does not understand sin, nor does she understand the weight of sin, or how it hurts God, or how wrong it is. She doesn't understand. And so even though she said those words, we know she's not ready. The Spirit of God still has to do a work in her. And so we'll continue praying. For some of you, you might think, well, that's kind of harsh. Well, there's an opportunity blown. She could have prayed the prayer and asked the Lord into her heart. But understand something. I don't want this to be just a human will asking something. I want this to be the power of God changing her heart. I want her to hope in Christ till the end of her days. And that can only be done if the Spirit of God is in her. I'm in a devotional book that I have. There's this devotion. It's by S.D. Gordon. And he says this story. It says, I well recall an old Christian woman who lived down the lane from me. In her younger days, she had fallen in love with Jesus Christ when he had given her hope for her future. At one time, she knew much of the Bible by heart. Her favorite verse was, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. As age came on and began to take its toll, her memory began to fail. Eventually, her deteriorating memory caused only one precious bit of that verse to stay with her. And she would say this, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. By and by, only a phrase of the verse kept its focus, and she would quietly repeat, that which I have committed unto him. When at last, as she hovered on the borderland between this and the world to come, her loved ones noticed her lips moving. They bent down to see if she needed anything. She was repeating over and over to herself the one word of the text, him, him, him. She had lost the whole Bible but held on to her hope in one word, him, him. That's the faith that I want my daughter to have. That's the faith that I want everyone and the kids and those who are not saved in our fellowship to have that type of faith till to the very end. Their hope is in Him all the way to the end. And this is only done by a regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So, if your hope is in Christ, and you know personally about the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, then we are to take heart. We are to take heart. We're to have courage. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As Christians, we should never be surprised by the struggles and the trials that come our way. We shouldn't be astounded by the whole economy being put on pause and our nation just being rebooted, and the struggles and the trials that we face in that. As Christians, we shouldn't be shaken at the hostility of the world that comes at us and tries to take away our hope and our faith. We should not be surprised at the doubts and the anxieties that are coming at us right now. The world antagonizes us, right? And where's your faith in God? Or, you know, you believe in God, He'll protect you, so why are you staying at home? You might as well just go out and go shopping and go on with your life, you know? Forget about the virus. God will protect you, right? You know, there's just all kinds of ways that the world antagonizes us and tries to berate us. Or, you know, financially we're struggling, and so, you know, we just want to say, I'm fed up, I give up, I'm gonna go back to that job or go back to this unlawful way of getting money. I can't handle it anymore. I give up on this faith and this righteousness thing. You know, we got that struggle in our own minds, and so you gotta be careful. I mean, I don't know why, but I had this vivid dream about dealing blackjack again, and there's been several times after I became a Christian where I thought, I need money, I just got to go back to the casino and deal cards, and you know, I'll just have to make that work. But we have to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. We have to keep hoping in Him and running to Him and seeking His word for encouragement to get us through these hard times. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation." So, as Peter says, and many scriptures say, trials will come, but if we've been regenerated and we have the hope of Christ, then we do have a great hope, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us. And so, in Christ, we do have a certainty of victory. We're not going to, in our hope in Christ, we're not going to fall from our faith with our hope in Christ, with our hope founded in Christ. We have certain victory that we will make it through these hard times right now, and that we will make it through to the end to be with Him forever. And our hope is in our Lord and Savior, in the greatness of His salvation, that He is mighty to save, that He will bring us through this time. Our victory is sure because it is His victory, done in His strength, and accomplish for His good pleasure and glory. The truth is that as Christians we're in battle, and the battle is real. We feel it more now with all this going on, but we're constantly in battle in this world. And in this battle, in this life, we're called to strive, to hold fast, and to fight with the greatest diligence and zeal for our faith and our hope. But this is true. When the dust settles, all right, after we get through this or other trials and struggles in our life, when the dust settles and every foe has been conquered, every hardship has been suffered through and gotten to the other side, the Christian admits that the battle and the victory were the Lord's. It was the Lord that got us through. It was the Lord that gave us strength. And He will get us through this. We won't boast in our own abilities. We won't boast in our riches, our wisdom, or our strength. But we'll boast that we know the Lord. And He gave us hope through this. And He got us through. And then we also have our certain victory to get through this and to the end. Faithful to either see Him come in glory or to the end of our life. We have certain victory because of the greatness of the One who dwells in us. And I'm speaking of the Holy Spirit. We see in Scripture, in 1 John it says, "Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world." And we know that God is not only with us, but He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And according to our need, the indwelling Spirit ministers to us so that God's great purposes might be fulfilled in us, all right? The Holy Spirit in us will give us what we need to fulfill our purposes. The Holy Spirit enables us to comprehend something of what God has done for us and given to us in Christ. And that should be our great focus right now and always, to just meditate and think on what Christ has done for us. And the Spirit will help us in that. He helps us to understand and to realize more and more how great Jesus' love is for us. How great of a salvation we have in Him. The Holy Spirit aids us in guarding doctrines from His Word, the Gospel. The Holy Spirit helps us as we've been entrusted with His Word and the Gospel. The Holy Spirit helps us so that we don't depart from the true gospel to a false gospel and teach a different gospel. The Holy Spirit will guard us from that and help us in that. The Holy Spirit wars with our flesh. We see this in Galatians 5:17. The Holy Spirit wars with our flesh and aids us in the great conflict against it. The Holy Spirit helps us in this battle with our flesh, which wants us to despair and to lose hope. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. He strengthens us with power in the inner man, that we might be able to know the love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. This is a passage that whenever I read it, I pray it for the church, and I ask the Lord to help me to pray this for the church. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And actually, let's start at verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man." Man, we need to pray that for each other. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." The Holy Spirit helps us in just those things right there, which are just some of our greatest treasures right there in the verse. The Holy Spirit, Jesus' love, and the surpassing knowledge of Jesus' love that we have. So let's pray that for each other right now. The Holy Spirit protects us from deception. And we see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's turn there. Acts 1, 8. Acts 1, 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so we know Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but that promise is true for us too, that His Spirit will empower us so that we will be witnesses, and His Spirit will guard us from deception. His Spirit leads us to bear fruit in our lives. The Spirit of God leads us as we seek guidance from His Word. The Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. And the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. And turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And I'm speaking these things to you so that we would hope in the God who indwells us by His Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son." And I actually meant to say verse 26. Verse 28 is good too and important. Again, I've said this, and we need to have this sure in our hearts and minds that right now, in this time, God is working this for good. Even though we don't understand, we don't see what His ultimate plan is, He's working this out for good. But verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And so the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. So I want us to hope in Christ and hope in the salvation that He's given us. But I also want us to hope in the Holy Spirit, in the Helper, in the One who helps us in all of these things, that strengthens us. We are to hope in Him. I was reading this week about Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, and he preached in Europe, and his church was just, as he preached, the church would just be packed full with people waiting outside, and there were just millions of people that heard his messages and have read his books. He's had such an impact, and he's a very powerful preacher. But I was just reading this week and looking and studying about the Holy Spirit and the hope that we have from the Holy Spirit. And I was reading about Charles Spurgeon, and in the church where he preached, he had a pulpit that was high up. And to get up to that pulpit, he would have to take 15 steps to get up to that pulpit before he preached to the packed out church and then whoever's listening outside. And it tells, what I was reading tells of Charles Spurgeon that he said, as he would take each of those 15 steps up to the pulpit, he would say to himself, each step, I believe in the Holy Spirit. 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 The whole way up those steps, he would repeat to himself, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's a big reason and a big reason why his ministry and his preaching had such an impact is because of his faith and his hope in the Holy Spirit and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through him. And we need to hope in that too, that the Spirit will strengthen us, that the things that we're called to do right now, the ways that we're called to minister, the Holy Spirit will help us in those things. Whatever that may be, whether it's me standing up here getting recorded or you sharing the gospel with your neighbor or family member or just giving to someone in need or even in calling that church member that's been on your heart and your mind, just calling them and reaching out to them saying, hey, you're on my mind and I just wanted to see how you're doing and I wanted to pray with you. You know, the Holy Spirit will help us in each of those things as we go and do the things we're called and minister to people. And so, and of course, and I think I'm going to have to do a whole other sermon on this, but of course we have the hope of glory. We have the hope of heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And we know, we hope in the sure word of our Savior that He's going and preparing a place for us. That in His house there are many mansions. And He's gone to prepare a place, as we see in John 14, verses 1 through 4. So we hope in that. And then in Revelation chapter 5, we hope for this moment when we will be with the angels and the myriads and myriads and myriads of angels and the living creatures. In Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, turn there, verse 11 through 14. It says in Revelation 5, verse 11, and then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, I said last week that us meeting, or it's not really meeting, but us watching a sermon online and just, you know, being apart, that's a lousy way for us to be together, but it's the best we can do right now. But when the day comes that we see this, just the ecstasy and the glory of seeing our Lord and Savior and worshiping Him with millions of angels and people. It's gonna be glorious. Because at that time we'll know and we'll remember that He is all that we need. And then at that time we'll know that we have Him forever. Now, if this does not sound so appealing to you, being here in heaven and everyone bowing down to Jesus and worshiping Him, if the idea of being holy forever is not appealing to you, and you're just not necessarily wanting that, you're wishing that heaven had other things up there than being holy and worshiping Jesus. Well, there's only one way for you to begin to understand how that is so appealing and why that is so desirable, to be holy, for there to be no more sin, and for us to be able to just worship our Lord and Savior forever. And the only way that you'll understand this is by the power and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we pray that you would seek the Lord and humble yourself and cry out to Him. If you're watching this and you cry out to Him and ask Him, show me, reveal to me the weight of my sin and the condemnation and the guilt that I'm under, and ask the Spirit to work to reveal to you the gift of salvation and to understand who Jesus is and what He's done. And only by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit will you be regenerated and become a new creation. And then you will understand why this passage in Revelation is so glorious. And you will have a hope in Christ. So we pray for you and hope that if you're that the Holy Spirit would be working that out in your heart right now. I'm going to read one more verse just as a benediction to close us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, know that we're praying for you. And why don't we go ahead and close in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have so many reasons to hope, Lord, in Your Son. In You, Heavenly Father, and in Your goodness, in Your faithfulness, Lord, in Your Word. So many reasons to hope, Lord. And Lord, when we do fall into despair, Heavenly Father, let us just remember that passage in Psalm 42. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Heavenly Father, there are many out there who are struggling and burdened, and Heavenly Father, please help us as your children to struggle and fight to stay in that hope in Christ. And God, we pray that again you'd make us bold witnesses to go and to share that hope, Lord, with those that are with those that are so burdened and have no hope at all right now. So, Lord, we know that you're working these glorious things out. Our hope is in you, and we just want to be a part of that work that you're doing. And so we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you, and again, hope that we'll be able to be together here again soon. God bless.